Praise the Lord. This is Brian Jenkins. You are listening to A Message of Hope, and the theme for this broadcast is Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. We bring you greetings from our mission partners here and around the world in Guyana, Jamaica, India, Nigeria, South Africa, Liberia, Uganda, and the United States. First, I want to thank you so much for supporting this ministry. You have helped us accomplish a lot of wonderful things, including keeping this broadcast out on the air. We also have been able to distribute more than 100,000 meals a year throughout the Philadelphia region in Center City, West Philadelphia, and Pottstown, and pump over 300,000 pounds of food around the world every single year. We have engaged people in job training, computer labs, expungement services, and even a barbershop where they can get their hair cut for free so they can go out and land their next job. You are important to us, and we want to thank you so much for supporting us. As we begin the year, we encourage you that after you tithe to your local church, pray about giving a first fruit into our ministry so that we can continue to help people here and around the world. Be sure to support us throughout the year by becoming a monthly partner, and you can go onto our website at chosen300.org and set up online giving, or you can send a gift into Chosen 300 at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. It is through your partnership we have been able and will continue to help people here and around the world. Our scripture for this morning is found in Mark, the 9th chapter and the 7th verse. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Today we're talking on the subject of put your focus on Jesus. Enjoy today's message.
But even with all of his miracles, even with all the display of his power, people still doubted who Jesus was. They still didn't have the fullness of who he was, his identity. They didn't understand the fullness of his glory. When you read John, the 11th chapter, there's a story about Lazarus. There's a story about Lazarus, and at 6 o'clock in the morning at Men's Fellowship yesterday, we talked about this, so if you want to learn some stuff, come to 6 o'clock a.m. Men's Fellowship. Just want to slide that in there. 6 o'clock a.m. Men's Fellowship. Okay, good. John, the 11th chapter, verse 21, we find here that Lazarus was dead. He was sick first. He was sick, and they sent for Jesus. They said, "Look, Jesus, can you come and see about Lazarus, because Lazarus is sick." But then he was delayed by a woman who had an issue of blood. And they said, "Jesus, come on, you got to come. Jesus, got to hurry up." But see, Lazarus was not sick enough. And so he delayed a little longer, and he took his time getting there. And then finally Lazarus died, but he wasn't dead enough. He was dead a couple days, but he wasn't dead enough. He wasn't stinking enough. But then when he finally arrived, Martha said these words in verse 21 of the 11th chapter. He says, "If you would have been here." And a lot of times we get the situations in our life. We get the challenges in our circumstances and say, "God, if you only had been here, if you'd got here a little bit sooner, I wouldn't have been a complete failure, and it would not have been over." Let me tell you something. It's not over when everybody else sings. It's over when Jesus says it's over, and until God says it's over. Can I come down your street? I know a lot of people think you're damned. Some people think that you're destroyed. Some people think you're done. But let me tell you something right now. God can take nothing and make something out of it. Can I help somebody? I apologize. I thought I was in Philly. But can I help somebody? You have to realize that I am a boy from Tasker Projects. You have to understand, my daddy, he did a bam, bam, thank you, ma'am. Matter of fact, I think he was the milkman. I don't know. My mother died when I was 5 years old, and I wound up in an orphanage. And then wound up in foster care. But I want to let you know that God can take a boy out of the projects. Take a boy out of the orphanage. Take a boy out of foster care and lift him up to the place where he wants you to be. The things that you're going through right now. Oh, can I help somebody? Listen, the things that Zion is going through right now. It's simply to propel us to the place that God wants us to be. See, I know the devil tries, but let me tell you something. The devil is defeated, and God is exalted, and we have the victory in this place. Oh, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, bless his name. And people doubted Jesus. You remember the story about Jairus? Jairus had a daughter that was sick. Same condition. Ready to die. Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 35 and verse 40, the Bible says is that when she had finally died, when Jesus was on the way to Jairus' house, the Bible says this, is that they said, listen, don't trouble the master any further. And in verse 40, the Bible says, and they laughed him to scorn. That they didn't believe that Jesus could do. I mean, they saw what he could do, but they didn't realize that God could handle this. Get whatever this is in your life. Whatever that challenge is. I don't care if it's bankruptcy. I don't care if you're without a home. I don't care if your money is so low you don't know how you're going to make the bill. I don't care if it's your health. I want to let you know that God is able. And the text says it this way, not only that he's able to do exceedingly. Somebody's going to get this in a second. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we asked or think. Can I unpack that for a second? Listen, think about the capacity of God according to your logical understanding. Think about how you think God is able. There's a point of the limit of where your faith is. You got that point? He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. We have to get out of the state where we doubt God. The second thing, in order to put our focus on Jesus, we got to believe that he's able. Now, the disciples also had this problem. Don't think that you're new at this doubting thing. The disciples had the same problem. Jesus had done some very substantial miracles. When you go to Mark, the 6th chapter, there's a story about Jesus feeding the 5,000. You know the story. The Bible says that, and Jesus had compassion on them, and it was a great crowd, and he began to preach the kingdom. When you even look down a little further, even at Luke's gospel, he talks about not only did he feed them, but he also provided healing and preached the kingdom of God to them and also fed them. But if you look at the text, the Bible says that the day had been far spent. And the disciples came to Jesus and said, yo, Jesus, that's the Ebonics version. He says, yo, Jesus, the day is gone. We have 5,000 men plus women and children out here hungry. We have an idea. Send them away so that they can go and buy in the villages. If we can just take a pinpoint here, you have to understand we have to stop getting into the place in the church where we're sending people away. We send people away. They come to us for help, and we say, go to this program. Go to this governmental situation or do this or do that. We always send them away. No, the answer is right here in the church. I go to prayer meetings sometimes, and I get sick of hearing people pray sometimes. You know what they pray? Lord, help the drug addict on the corner. Lord, touch those that need some food. Lord, help the prostitute. You know what God says? No, you do it. And a lot of times we think that people are leaving out of the kingdom of God and leaving out of the church because they're not strong enough. Let me tell you something. No, the reason why they're leaving is because of you. It's because of us. But we have to get to a place where we're welcoming and welcome people. You come on. Come on, baby. We can help you. It's okay that your skirt's too high. Don't worry about it. You come in here anyway. Young man, you come on in here with your pants down. That's okay, because we're going to pray that the presence of God touches your life and those pants will come up. It's okay that you're walking with a switch right now, young man, but you know what? We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you and change your life. You come on in. You come on in. We're glad to have you. Thank you so much. Come on in. We're glad to have you, because right now you might be walking with a switch, but let this presence of the Holy Spirit get on you, and you'll be walking with a stroll. But we got to open the door and let people in. So we get to this text, and Jesus, you know the story, Jesus serves all the folks. They had two fishes and five loaves, and they gave it to Jesus. And Jesus lifted it up and blessed it, and he began to give it out. And the Bible says that after they had fed everybody, they collected 12 baskets. Now, every calculator that I tried out, two fishes and five loaves don't equal 12 baskets, plus serving 5,000 men, plus women and children. Let's look a little further. Look at the eighth chapter of Mark. When we look at the eighth chapter of Mark, we have a similar miracle. Jesus has 4,000 men plus women and children. And the Bible says there that he had seven loaves and some fishes. It doesn't tell us how many fishes he had, but he had seven loaves and some fishes. And the Bible says that he did the same thing. Jesus took the stuff, lifted it up, and gave it out. And the Bible says returned unto them were seven baskets. Let's pause here for a second. He had 5,000 men plus women and children, two fishes, five loaves of bread, gave it out, and 12 baskets came back. He had seven loaves and some fishes, 4,000 men plus women and children, and seven baskets came back. See, the reason why God created you was to be a distribution center. He didn't save you to be a consumer. You know, many times we get into this place that the reason why we come to Jesus, Lord, give us eternal life, give us a blessing, and give us stuff. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And we got this list for God. God, give me. Give me a house. Give me a car. Give me stuff. But we have to get to a place that the reason why we want God to bless us is so that we can be a blessing. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. I get excited about this text. You have to understand, the people that were sitting and waiting, they heard the gospel. They heard the word of God through Jesus. And what they got was lunch. They got lunch. But look what came back. The disciples released what they had. They gave it to God for the purpose of distribution. And then when it came back, they didn't wind up with lunch. They wound up with a basket. Some of y'all still don't get it. Listen, you have to understand. There was 5,000 people, two fishes, five loaves of bread. They gave it out, and everybody else got lunch, but they got a basket. When you learn not to be a consumer, but when you learn to be a blesser, God causes you not to just get lunch. You get a basket. Somebody ought to shout a hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've learned to be a giver. I just try to bless folk. I was in Walmart the other day. A lady was struggling with her groceries. I didn't tell you about this, Shanday, sorry. A lady was struggling with her groceries. And you know how they say, well, just do a little bit more. Let's see where it comes to. And that gave me the understanding that that woman did not have enough for her grocery bill. And that's all the money she had. I said, listen, cashier, put it all on there. Swipe. And you got to get to the place in your spirituality is that the reason that God has blessed you, not to consume, but to be a blessing. We can't send people away. We got to serve them. So we have these two texts. You know, 5,000, 12 baskets. 4,000, 7 baskets. So the disciples in the 8th chapter, they're going into a ship. And read the text. The Bible says that they had not more than one loaf. very significant. Verse 14 of the 8th chapter, they had one loaf. But look at verse 16 and what the disciples said. They said, we don't have any bread. They had one loaf, but they said, we don't have any bread. And a lot of us operate on a pessimistic approach about what we have and don't have. We're always looking at the cup as half empty and not looking at it as half full. But if you learn to use what God has given you, then God will turn that thing around to cause it to be a blessing not only to them, but also to you. You're going to get in a second. These disciples, they were getting into a ship and they began to complain. And of course, Jesus says, look, guys, I know what you're complaining about. And he asked them a question. He asked them a very significant question. It's found in verse 18. It says, having eyes, don't you see? Having ears, can you hear? Can you hear me now? Do you remember what I have already done? You have to realize that God has already enough miracles in your life to have you a testimony to help you overcome your current circumstance. You know, a songwriter said it like this, if he brought you through this, somebody gets it in a second, he'll bring you through that. And I'm so grateful to you. You have to understand every situation God has already brought you through is enough testimony to get you through this present circumstance. And Paul said it this way. He says, look, even if it's difficult, don't worry about it. He says, this light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you hang with me real quickly? Listen, you have to understand the things that we see right now is this present life that we're in. And God says, listen, I promise you 60 plus 10, which is 70 years. And if you have to realize that if you're beyond that, you're in overtime. But you have to understand that this life compared to eternity is yet but a moment. So even if you endure difficulty for the rest of your life, it's okay. Trust in the Lord. Put your faith in him. And I want to let you know that this light affliction is just for a moment. Mark 8, 22 to 25, so they're in the ship, and they're getting into the ship, and they're questioning Jesus. And so Jesus asked them a question, and I'm going to put this in the Bryan Standard Version. What don't you understand? I mean, haven't you already said this? Verse 21, thank you, sweetheart. Haven't you already seen what I have done? I mean, we had 5,000 people out here, plus women and children. 2 fishes, 5 loaves of bread, 12 baskets came back. Can't you see that when I was out there with 4,000 men plus women and children? You see that miracle I pulled off? I mean, we had 7 loaves and some fishes and 12 baskets came back. Did you see that? What don't you understand? You have a loaf of bread. It's just us getting to the ship, maybe a couple workers, and we're getting into water with fish around it. I mean, did you see the miracle what I pulled off when I called you, Simon? That I caused fishes to come into it. Don't you realize I got this? And you have to look at your situation and realize that God got you. You have to stop letting your problems know how big they are and start letting your problems know how big your God is. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah for that. I got to borrow something from a friend of mine. I ain't going to tell you who it is, but I borrow something from a friend of mine. After you say it once, you give them credit, and then you take it, and it's yours. But anyway, but if you ever seen the show In Living Color with Jamie Foxx, and Jamie Foxx played this girl named Wanda. You know, big Wanda with them big lips. And she always say, I got you. Next time you have a problem, I'll give you a good laugh. Just look at your problem and imagine God with some big black lips going down from heaven talking about some, I got you. So they get into the ship. They get into ship. And then they go to this healing session with Jesus. Now, very interesting, and I'm not going to open the whole story for time's sake, but here we have this man that was blind. And Jesus does something very strange. First of all, he takes the man out of the town. He didn't want anybody else to see this miracle but the disciples. And every time that Jesus had done a miracle, he did it for the purpose of getting a message. See, some of the mess that you're going through right now, sometimes God allows you to go through difficulties. But the mess that you're in right now, God will call that mess to be a message. You can't have a message without a mess. You can't have a test without a testimony. See, you're always talking about, I want a testimony, I want a testimony. In order to get a testimony, you got to get a test. In order to get a message, you got to get a mess. And so even if you're going through mess, rejoice for the mess. Because it won't last always. I'm going to tell you right now, you see me going through a storm, you better take a picture because really soon I'm coming out of this. You have to understand, they had come to this man that was born blind, and the Bible says, they even ask, and if you read John, the ninth chapter around verse 2 and 3, John makes it a little clearer. Mark puts out the story, but John says it this way, who sinned, this man or his parents? He says, no one sinned. It says, but that the glory of God or the manifestation of God might be fulfilled in his life. And there's some things that you're going through right now. God's trying to do something with you. God's trying to get you a place where he can use you. Have you ever drank that water Propel? You remember Propel? Propel water? There would be a tennis player or a baseball player and they're trapped inside of the water. But what the Propel was wrapped around the athlete, and the athlete was immersed in the Propel. But when the Propel was ready, it released the athlete to spring into action, and it propelled them to the place where they intended to be. There's some difficulties that you're trapped in right now. There's some challenges that you're facing in your life, but God is working on you right now, and what he's going to do is propel you to the place where he wants you to be. That's why James said it this way, count it all joy when you come into diverse temptations, knowing the trial of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have a perfect work in you, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. So here this dude was blind, and Jesus does a two-part miracle. Now, I'm trying to figure this out for a second. Jesus, I mean, couldn't you pull it off the first time? But you have to understand what was happening here is Jesus is trying to get a message to his disciples because they did not see him in the fullness of who he was. And so here Jesus, I mean, he goes and he does one of these numbers. And he spits on his eyes. Now, Jesus, couldn't you figure out a better way to heal me? I mean, couldn't you use some olive oil? Or could you do like the centurion? Could you just say a word? And sometimes God heals you the way that you didn't intend for you to be healed. But here this man was healed partially. And he asked him, what do you see? He says, I see men as trees walking. And the message that Jesus was trying to get to his disciples is that this is how you see me. You can only see me from a partial perspective. And some of us here today are looking at Jesus only for a partial perspective of who he is. He is comfortable. You want comfortable Christianity. Oh, Jesus, save me from my sins. Jesus, bless me. Bless me indeed. Large my territory. That's what we're interested in. We're interested in the fluff. But do you want to see the fullness of God's glory? Do you want to see all that he can be in your life? You know, my grandmother used to say it this way, that he's my bread when I'm hungry. He's my lawyer in the courtroom. He's my doctor in the sick room. He's all that I need. That's why he said, look, I am. I am. So Jesus touches him again. And he says, what do you see now? He says, I see clearly. Now look what happens next in the text. 8th chapter, look at that. Jesus asked a question. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some say, you know, one of the prophet dudes. And then he turns to his disciples and says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you know what? I see it now. I see it now. I couldn't see before. I couldn't see the fullness of who you were before, but I see it now. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In one of the other versions of the gospel, he says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father is in heaven. But he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to change your name. Your name is not going to be Simon Wavering Weed anymore. Your name is going to be Petros. You're going to be Rock. Now look what happens next. We now have the transfiguration. You see this? Do you see this? First, he is revealed as the Son of God. We see him as God himself. We see him as the miracle worker. And then we see him as this healer. We see him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in chapter 9, we have this new revelation of who God is. Who Christ is in the fullness of his glory. The Bible says that, listen, two guys were transfigured with Jesus, Moses and Elias. Moses and Elias, and we'll break that down in a second. Moses and Elias was there with Jesus. Jesus' image was then changed to this glorified state, and the disciples were in awe of this, and that's why John says, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. You have Moses and Elias. Elias is the Greek term for the Hebrew word Elijah, which is the first prophet in the two, Elijah and Elijah and Elijah. Elijah is the second dude. Elijah is the first one. Elijah is the Hebrew term for the Greek word Elias, which comes from Latin, See, what happens here is that Elias and Moses was there. Moses represented the law. Elias represents the prophets. But then there's a cloud that comes down and says, y'all get out the way. Move the law, move the prophets. What I need you to do is simply put your focus on this guy, Jesus. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. And we have to stop putting focus on people. We have to stop putting focus on stuff. If the church is going to proceed, if the church is going to move forward, we have to put our focus on Jesus.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's message, putting our focus on Jesus. Make that the purpose for 2015, that you're not putting focus on yourself, not putting your focus on other things, but putting your focus on Christ Jesus. Remembering the words of the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is Brian Jenkins, and until the next time, Christ in you, the hope of glory.